Open up to Matthew 5. This is going to be a simple but profound message tonight. The title of it's real simple. You are the light of the world. Notice I did not say Jesus is the light of the world, because you already know that. See, religion, and when I say religion, I don't mean in a good way. I mean powerless religion. The kind that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. All godless religion under the banner of Christianity will say Jesus is the light of the world. Where they have a problem is when you say you are. Is it sin to say about you what Jesus says about you? Would you call that humility to say about you what Jesus says about you? Well, say this with me. I'll help you first. The first half is easy. Jesus is the light of the world.
Jesus is the light of the world.
And he said,
I am the light of the world.
Now let's get scripture. There's Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world, talking to his disciples. Do we have any disciples in the house? Okay. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. You remember in Proverbs where it says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord? When Adam sinned, your light went out. You still had a candle. You still had a spirit, but the light went out. See, when you got born again, he lit your candle. He's using that analogy now, see? You're not a candle where there's no light. You're a candle that's been set on fire. It reminds me of something John Wesley said one time. He said, how come so many people come to listen to your messages? He says, I set myself on fire and they come to watch me burn. I like that one too. You've been set on fire. Your candle's been lit. And Jesus does not intend for you to hide your candle. But religion is real good at causing you to hide your candle. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now, he's using something natural. What's the point? Why light a candle and hide it from the world? What good is that? No, you light a candle so it'll give light to everybody in the room. The room here is the world. And the whole world lieth in darkness. We're going to look at that in a minute. But you're the light. Now notice, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. But you put it on a candlestick. You lift it up where it can be used. And it gives it gives light unto all that are in the house. Now notice, this is the Lord talking to you, you lights. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? Good works. So we need to be like the Pharisees. Wait a minute. Give me a chance. She's already saying no. She knows I'm being facetious here. Jesus said when they would give into an offering, they must have had trumpeters with them. I guess they hired these guys. Dun, da, da, da. I like how Dave did it. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da. I'm about to give into the offering. I'm letting my light so shine. Could it be that? What did Jesus say about when you give? Now, when you give, we're supposed to do that secretly so that men don't see that. We better scratch that off. He's not talking about giving. He must be talking about prayer. Yeah. I'll be sure and come on Friday for prayer so everyone can see me there. Now, I believe I'm coming Friday for prayer, but you better not be coming so people will see you here. What did he say about that? He said you need to do that secretly, just you and your Father. Some people take that literal. Some people I know in the house, You know, you need to have a prayer closet. I know people that have a closet, a literal closet. They put a mattress in there, and it's not used for anything but prayer. And now the point is, you're supposed to have a place where just you and your Father. Now, it's good to come Friday for prayer, okay? That's, you know, but if your purpose is to show off how spiritual you are, you got a ways to go. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, these works that we're supposed to let so shine before men, they can't be giving. They can't be prayer. I'll tell you another one. They can't be fasting. Now, I've never seen anyone around. Apparently, again, the Pharisees, they had fasting makeup. Yeah. They would darken their eyes, and they would do things so that people wouldn't. They'd wear mourning clothes, like not mourning in the day, like grieving, sad. You know, these are my fasting clothes. Why? So people would know. Dave talks about the early days when the Lord was getting this kind of stuff out of him. He says, I wanted to run over a little kid on a tricycle and say, I love God so much I haven't eaten for 3 days. Of course, that's the kind of thing that God's getting out of us. Now, the point is, when he says, let your lights... Okay, now, I'm going to say some things a little different tonight. What if Jesus was to walk and say, I didn't light your candle for nothing? There's other people here besides her, right? Jesus walk in and say, I did not light your candle for nothing. Say amen. That's good preaching, Brother Gary, right there. See? I expect your light to shine in such a way that you'll be different from normal humans. And the works that come out of you will cause men to glorify God. Okay. Well, what could those works be? Suddenly a verse comes to mind. You don't have to turn there. John 14:12. Those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also. And greater than these, because I go to the Father. We hardly ever quote the next two. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Just in case you didn't hear him the first time, he seldom ever repeats himself in two consecutive verses. Said again, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, the works he's talking about are the same works he did. Works, I'm going to try and say things a little different. Works that cannot be done by natural humans. Said no amens again. He's talking about works that makes the world take notice. A light that shines in the darkness. Now, you don't have to turn there. I taught on this right before I left. The title of that message is The Whole World Lieth in the Power of the Evil One, I think, or Wicked One. You don't need to turn there. We've already got that lesson on the website, Dave's and mine. But listen, 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, I love the King James, and that's good. But actually, the Greek language right there, when it said wickedness, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read the Greek dictionaries. That has a masculine gender. It's not talking about a thing like wickedness. It's talking about a entity with a masculine gender. The Amplified renders that verse like this: we know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. See, it's often called darkness. You were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. Satan is still called the God, little g, of this world after the resurrection. And the natural people living under the God of this world, you know, you just get accustomed to sickness, death, poverty, disease, let me go worse, rape, murder, war, all of that stuff. And you almost can say, well, that's just the way it is. Well, it is under the God of this world. That's the way it is under the God of this world. Because the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. But see, I keep seeing it this way. He's showing it to me like this. It's not exactly Dave's vision of the flesh band. You remember the dark band of flesh? This one's a little different. But I'm seeing the whole world with like a dark fog all around it. The whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. It's under this darkness. That's the kingdom of darkness. And the whole world is under its power. Well, it was that way when Jesus was born. Here, in a world of darkness where there's not one single person with the life of God, the light of God on the inside, suddenly, in the womb of Mary, by way of the Holy Ghost, there is conceived a light, a single life. The Lord Jesus Christ, finally, someone whose candle is lit. And it's like if God's looking down from heaven, when that little spirit was conceived in the womb of Mary, it's like in all that darkness, all over the face of the earth, there's not a single light from God's point of view, no one with the life of God. But suddenly, boink, one light that grew up to be a man. And that man for 30 years, now the power of the light by itself, which is the new nature, the life of God, what you received when you got born again, the same life, by the way. That life empowered him to walk sin-free for 30 years. And the Bible's real careful to tell us he was tempted in all points, just like we are. See, it's not a sin to be tempted. He was tempted. But he remained sin-free. How did he do it? By the power of that light. Now, that's one way you can let your light shine. Stop sinning. Now, religion will tell you, religion has worked hard, and I mean powerless religion, trying to get you indoctrinated, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That statement is really saying your light is still not lit. You're still a lightless candle. You have a spirit, all right, but that statement says you're still a candle that's not lit. No. One way you can let your light shine, be different from the world. You don't have to sin anymore. Now, again, we have lots of messages. Dave Roberson 101, God will walk through hell with you with your faults. Everybody is in some stage of walking that out. God will walk through hell with you while you're still in your faults. As long as you don't start justifying it, as long as you don't start saying it isn't sin when it is, and as long as you keep doing those things that will bring mortification to the flesh and edification to your spirit, one day you'll walk free. But it doesn't change the truth. You were free the day you got born again. See? Amen? That's one way you could let your light shine. But now see, if you read Peter says the world, when you do that though, when you say, I'm not going to the bars with you anymore, they don't really look up to that. They think you're crazy. They really do. That's not going to impress them that much. They think, oh boy, you don't want to go drinking and partying with us? We think you're nuts. They think it's strange that you don't want to riot with them. You know what it means? Rebel with them. But those same old boys that'll mock you for that, if they got a blind daughter at home. So would you mind if I prayed for your daughter in the name of Jesus? And you're just a little Joe Public Mary wallpaper believer. See? You walk in and in the name of Jesus, I command those eyes. You open right now. And they open. First off, they're going to glorify God in that house. Because you're going to tell him it wasn't you. It's Christ in you. It's the Father in me. He's doing the works. And they'll glorify your Father. That is exactly what he's talking about. So he starts this off early. Matthew 5 is pretty early in his discourses. Now, I've just got to throw this in. I can't help it. Those radical grace preachers. You do know this is part of Sermon on the Mount. Remember when I read to you what they say? You don't even have to pay attention to the Sermon on the Mount. God help them. Anyway, that's not the message tonight. Go to Ephesians 4 just for a moment. I'm going to go there myself. Let me, I just copied a little bit of it. Ephesians 4. Now see what's happening, and I can tell I hear the same threads of the Holy Spirit in the messages that came forward even while I was gone. I saw the same threads in the messages at the conference, not only through me, but through Jim and Bronk and L.A. and everyone who spoke, and even the prophecies that came forward. What's happening right now is God is trying to raise up His true ministers, which is not the fivefold. His true ministers are you. You are the body of Christ. I listened to Alan's message. I agree with Alan completely. The vast majority of the ministers of Christ will never quit a full-time job, because that's where the sinners are. You're going to become a minister on the job. Let your light shine before men. You can't do that if there's no men where you are. I'm going to let my light shine in church where everybody else is already a light. Silly, isn't it? The way they're... But see, what's happened, the church is like, oh, the fivefold. They're apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Those are the ones that do the work of the ministry. Well, let's see. Ephesians chapter 4. Pick it up here. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, now, what's the purpose? Let me read it first, and then we'll come back. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till the fivefold come in the unity of the faith. Is that what it says?
No.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect, and that means mature man. Unto the measure. How mature? How mature? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I can't even end it there. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. If you want to hear the mind of Christ for the body this hour, that we may grow up. Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Hello, joint. Hello, leg bone, arm bone, elbow bone. Hello, spleen, liver, pancreas. What I'm saying is parts of the body. Not everybody is in advance. Not everybody is called to street witnessing. Okay? But we are called to be a witness. Now, you may witness to the typist who's sitting at the desk next to you. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of, do you see this? Every part. I want every part in my body working. I've never seen my liver. I'm so glad it's there. I'm so glad it's working. And I don't want my liver to be jealous of my lungs. I don't want my liver to try to be a lung. My liver is created to be a liver. Please don't try and breathe. That might be painful. Every part of the body has been created by God. It's the same in the body of Christ. God is no cookie cutter. Come on, look at there's not a face in here the same. Not a face in, no two snowflakes the same. No fingerprints the same. Come on. You got a part in the body. The Holy Spirit, one of His main functions is to help you find your place. See? But in every place, you're going to be His witness. Thank you, Helena. Let me try that again. In every place, you're going to be his witness. See? We're going to get to that in a minute. The effectual working of every part, making increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. Now, let's break this down just a little bit. Let's go back to verse 12. Verse 11. There's your fivefold. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. What is their job? Look at verse 12. The maturing, the perfecting of the saints. See, the job of the fivefold, first and foremost, is perfecting you, maturing you. Which is hard to do if the fivefold didn't mature themselves. That's why I don't want no pastor that ain't praying. You hear me? I want the ones above me praying and fasting more than the ones below. If there's such a thing. I don't know. I want the ones above me. You know what I'm talking about. I want them fasting and praying. That's one thing I've always admired about Pastor Dave. He doesn't just teach it. He does it. How many of you watch Dave over the years? There's Dave. I mean, if you can't see my hands, I'm talking about fasting right now. You see normal Dave, and then you see fasting Dave. Then you, over a period of time, there's normal Dave. Oh, there's fasting Dave. You know, pray. My goodness, you get down. I used to try and when I was first out of the trucks, I'd want to come down early and pray. I kept trying to get here earlier than him. 7 o'clock wouldn't do it. 6 o'clock wouldn't do it. 5 o'clock wouldn't do it. Now, usually about 4 o'clock, somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock, you get here. He'd already be in there praying. You go listen at the door. You don't want to bother him. Go listen. Yeah, he's in there praying. My goodness. That's what I want, see. But now, staying with what he's got in mind tonight. That fivefold are not primarily the ones to do the work. The fivefold are supposed to be maturing the body to do the work. And the body, for the most part, is where the sinners are. You're the ones out in the world. You're the ones on the job. The body I'm talking about. Amen? All right? So the purpose of the fivefold, according to this, is for the perfecting or the maturing, you could say the growing up of the saints. Well, what's the purpose of that? Why do you want the saints to mature? What's the next thing? For the work of the ministry. Well, what's the purpose? Why do we want that? For the edifying, the building up, the growing of the body of Christ. It doesn't mean it just maturing you. It means you're the ones going to be sharing your witness. You're the ones going to be giving your testimony. And you're the ones going to be working the miracles. See? I'm just going to preach to Helena and B over here. And this lady, you need to move over by them. I'm teasing. Now, you got to see the good Romans 12:11 just for a moment. Most of you can quote this verse by heart. Most people quote it and leave off the last part. I did for years. I actually got this praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost flat told me I was quoting that verse wrong, and I didn't realize it was. I quoted it wrong for years. I always said that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's how I always quoted it. And he told me, you're quoting it wrong. I went, what? I know that verse. You better go look at it. But what it really says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, with that thought in mind, go to Acts chapter 1. We're still talking about let your light shine. And he's not talking about giving, praying, or fasting. He wants you to let your good works be seen of men. We're talking public. We're not talking in church here. And church is fine. I mean, lay hands on the sick, that's fine. I'll be honest with you, how do I say this right? For the matured saints, prayer lines in church for church members are going to be extinct. Because you're going to be walking in health yourself. Now you will be. Because you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to make you free. James was shocked. Why do you think he wrote, "Are there any sick among you?" I remember the first time I ever read that, all 30 some odd years ago, when I got saved. I read that verse and I went, "James, have you ever been to church? Is there any sick in the church? Have you been to church? Lord, you have a prayer line and it takes 2 hours, you know? And it's all saved people." That was not normal in the early church. But the gospel has been so watered down, it's normal now. Well, we're going to unnormal it. Acts chapter 1. See, it says they love not their lives unto the death. You do know here in verse 8, you know where I'm going. But you shall receive power. Now that is the Greek word dunamis. That is dynamite. That is dynamo. That is raw. If you really want to know this Holy Ghost that you're about to be baptized with, how much power? Let's see now. Who was it hovering over the darkness? Wasn't that the Holy Ghost? He that brought the land out of the waters, he's in you. So if we start really getting a revelation of what the gospel really is, the devil's in big trouble. And revival will break out. It's just a matter of us growing up and maturing, just like it says here, where we're no longer tossed around like children. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. Never again. Never again will you ever fall to something like that. Anyway. You love not your life. Okay, I'm going to share this part on the way there. See, Paul said to... Most of Paul's letters are to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. There's a few. Really. There's a few, like to Timothy. He was a minister. Titus. Okay. But the vast majority, like Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, those are to everybody. What I'm saying is they're Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. He's not talking to some super elite people. In one place he says, in Philippians, I didn't look this one up. See where it says the blood of the Lamb, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. In Philippians, I think it is, he says, always holding forth the word of life. People will notice a difference about you. Why do you have this hope in you? Why do you have this joy in you? Why? What is that? Well, right there, you give your testimony. How you got saved by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Another place, he says, always willing to give a reason for the hope that is in you. That's your testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. That's where you start saying what great things the Lord has done for you. You know, you start sharing from your experience. Start sharing how he helped you, blessed you, delivered you, the word of your testimony. See that last part, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's why I had you go to Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, that's dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That word witnesses, did you know it's martyr? In the Greek it's M-A-R-T-U-S. It's where we get our word martyr. See, because every time you share, you're risking rejection. You're risking persecution. You're risking they may never look at you the same way again. In some countries, you could be looking at physical death. Which Jesus said, by the way, if that's all they can do to you, don't worry. If all they can do is kill the body, don't even worry about that. That day would be graduation day for you. See? But see, when it says they love not their lives unto the death, but every time you witness, every time you share Jesus, yeah, there's an element in there. They could reject you. They could get mad at you. Yes, sir. I don't have the scripture. Paul says, some water, some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. See, I remember way back. I was so young. I know it's hard to look at me now and think I was ever 20-something. But I was really going through a bad time. I was drinking. I don't want to go into detail, but I had a lot of tragedy in my life. My life was a wreck. And I was back at that job that I really hated. I mean, it was pouring concrete. If you've never had the joy of pouring concrete in Oklahoma in August, I'm telling you now, I did not like that job. I'm telling you now, it's hot and I'm hungover. I drank like, yeah, it was bad. And there was a guy that worked with my dad. Now, in my mind, he was ancient. But as I picture him, he's way younger than I am now. He was probably about 60. He came on the job one day. I'll never forget it. Talk about sowing seed. Man, I'm hot. I'm hungover. I remember that day. I was hungover. I'm trying to do my job. My head is just pounding. And my life seemed to be hopeless at the time. It was a complete shambles. Everything about it was bad. And here comes his name. His name was Ansel Hull. He's already gone on to be with the Lord now. Ansel Hull came to visit my dad. They were pretty good friends. Ansel Hull was in the landscaping business and we were in the concrete business, so we did a lot of work together. Well, Ansel Hull come by and I knew who he was and everything. I'm shoveling, doing whatever I'm doing, sweating, head pounding. And I'll never forget. Now, he sowed some seed that I was in my 20s when this happened, and I didn't get saved till I was 33. This seed he planted in me germinated maybe a decade. I couldn't get rid of it. You know what he said to me? He come by and he just patted me. I think I was close to where he's walking. He just patted me kind of on the back as he walked by. Hey, Gary. Never forget this. The best thing in life is serving Jesus. And see, now the thing of it is, when he said it, he wasn't saying it like, I have to witness to 10 people today. It's my duty to come witness. There was a joy that came out of him where I knew it was real in him. See, and when he said that, I'll be honest with you, all I could remember was those pews. See, I had a drug problem growing up. I got drugged to church on Sunday morning. I got drugged to church on Sunday night. I got drugged to church every Wednesday, you know. And I remember those, and to me, it was the most boring thing. Oh, my Lord, when will it ever be over, you know. That's what I remember. And here's Ansel, 60 years old, full of life. And he meant it. It was overflowing. My cup runneth over. And it wasn't just the words. It was when he said it to me, it was light. It was life. I knew it was real in him. The best thing in life is serving Jesus. That germinated in me for about 10 years. I didn't know what he meant. I didn't. Now he said another one. There's two things that Ansel said to me. As he was going back out the other way, he passed me again. He says, patted me on the back again. He says, I was in church for 25 years and thought I was a Christian. And walked on out. I wondered what in the world he meant by that too. What are you talking about? But I was so hungover I didn't call him back, you know. You got to remember, the sower sows the word. Didn't the sower sow it on stony ground, thorny ground, hard ground? You don't wait just for the good ground, do you? Sower sows the word. But you don't do it out of legalism. You know, I got a witness to 10 people today. It's not like that. Your light, when it's really lit, I like, again, John Wesley, I set myself on fire. And they come to watch me burn. Hansel was burning. There was a light shining out of him, and it shined under this old boy in darkness. I didn't know what all it meant, but he sowed seed that went, somehow it penetrated the rock of my heart. I carried that. I can't even tell you how many times I thought about that. What in the world did he mean? Because I couldn't equate. By the time I got saved, Ansel had already gone on to be with the Lord. I never got to tell him. So I asked the Lord to tell him. I said, he might already know. I don't know how it works up there, but would you please let Ansel know that he really sowed good seed that day? You see, Ansel was giving me the word of his testimony. And he didn't care if I rejected him. He was too full of life, too full of being in love. Man, he was just letting that light shine, see? Giving the word of his testimony. Man, he didn't care. He loved not their lives. If I rejected him, so what? He's still going to walk off in the light. I've been the one in the dark. Anyway. Now, you're not going to like this next statement. The church today, and it's because of religion. I'm talking about the church at large. And to some degree, including us. And the reason I say that is we've lost three to cancer in the last 12 months that should not have been lost. None of them should have been lost. Okay? So we're in a learning mode. Amen? God, we're going to stop that. I'm telling you right now, we're going to stop it. That is going to stop. But anyway, the reason for that is the whole church, for the most part, is filled with unbelieving believers. Now, that's the statement. We are. Filled with unbelieving believers. Because everybody believes until you ask them to go lay hands on the sick. And then they want to call Dave. Or Alan. Or Gary says, go call Dave. No, not anymore. No. We're seeing more results than we've ever seen before. We're going to see a lot more than that. The church today, though, is filled with unbelieving believers. They love Jesus. They do. I know they're on their way to heaven. But when I say that, what I mean is they love Jesus. Now, this is hard. But they really reject a lot of what he says. Especially what he says about them. See? So my job as one of the fivefold, I'm a teacher. I know what I am. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. See, my job is to edify you to the point where you become, and I become, a believing believer. I don't want to be an unbelieving believer, which sounds funny, doesn't it? I want to be a believing believer. Whatever he says about me, see, Jesus didn't say, I have the truth. I am the truth. Now, whatever he says, that is truth. Okay? Now, I'll show you what I mean. I'm going to give you a little example of where we are compared to where he wants us to be. Correction. When I say this next sentence, it's going to be a gauge of where we think we are compared to where he says we are. That's it. Pretty soon, you're going to talk and think like this with all humility. People live or die based on what I believe. Real quiet in here. We have three that died last year because we're unbelieving believers. And we got to start fessing up. The only reason those three are dead is because we do not believe what Jesus said. Y'all liked me until right now. Isn't that the truth? Isn't it better to know where you are so you can go somewhere different? It's not okay where we are, but it is where we are. Now say it with me. Say, this is what, and I'll help you. I don't want you to feel like you're saying something wrong. Jesus said, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, doesn't that mean that people will live or die based on whether you believe that or not? That's what I'm saying. So say it with me. Because of what Jesus said about me,
I say
people live or die
based on what I
believe. See that? If that affects you like it first affected me when he said that sentence, when he's trying to get this, I'm going, what? What? Like, that's a measure right there. If it hits you like it hit me, right there's a pretty good measure of I'm an unbelieving believer. Because that's been in there for 2,000 years. Believers, not the fivefold. Believers shall lay hands on the sick. I'm going to take you one more now. See, because we automatically think of prayer line because we've been programmed to think that. I've been doing some research. In the first 300 to 400 years of the church and church history, there was never any such thing as a prayer line in church. So how in the world did they get healed? Communion. Well, why don't they get healed today? False doctrine. Not taught the same thing that they were taught then. The closest he can get to a prayer line in the church was what James wrote about believers. Two believers, are any sick among you? And you could almost put, I can't hardly believe it, but if there is any sick among you, then if you can't, in other words, if you can't get healed on your own faith, you need to call for the elders of the church. They're going to anoint you with oil. They'll pray the prayer of faith. The Lord will raise them up. Not maybe so. The Lord shall raise them up. And notice, and if they've committed any sin. May not have. Not all sicknesses because of that. But if they've committed, it's like almost an afterthought. The Lord will raise them up. Oh, and if they've committed any sin, the Lord will forgive them. See, he'll heal you, then straighten you out. That's different than the doctrine that's being taught in the church. Right now right now the common doctrine is you gotta change this, you gotta repent of that, you gotta this, that, the other thing, and then maybe he'll heal you. You don't find that in the New Testament. He'll heal you like any good parent. If my kids are sick, I want them healed first, then I'll straighten them out.
Right.
Now come on, he's a better father than you are. You heal the kid first. Can't imagine walking into one of my kids. I think it makes my heart hurt. Kid in there with a fever and coughing, and if you'll straighten up, I'll heal you. Come on. You heal that child. If you had that ability, you heal that child, then you straighten them up. That's exactly the way God does it. See, because really what that's really talking about, believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We automatically think of prayer line in church. He's not even talking about that. No, go ahead and let's go over to Mark 16. We'll probably finish up there today. When he says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, what he's really talking about is not in church. We automatically think that because that's what we've seen. But he's not even talking about that. He's actually talking on your job. And how you know that is, starting verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, who's he talking to? If you back up a little, you'll find out it's the 11. Okay? You have to really combine Mark 16 with the last few verses of Matthew 28. It's the same event. Matthew recorded some things Mark didn't record. Mark recorded some things that Matthew didn't record. You got to put them together. Okay? Because in Matthew's account, he says, I want you to teach them everything that I taught you. Isn't that right? That means make a disciple out of them. Now you put that together with this. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You teach them everything that I taught you. And those that believe that and is baptized, well, they're going to be saved. But if not, they'll be damned. But now notice, those that believe, these signs, oh, that's one of the most important words in this passage. Underline the word signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. This is not the fivefold. The, The 11 went and they, apostles, prophets, the 11 went and what did they do? They preached the gospel. They got believers. They matured them. They edified them. They grew them up to the point that those people that heard the gospel, then they went out into the darkness, not church. They went out and let their light shine. These are signs shall follow them that believe. Signs to who? Signs to that lost world. Signs to that old sinner boy that drinks beer on his porch every day right next to your house and throws his cans over in your yard. But you find out he's got the palsy or some other thing. And you just flat go tell him, you know, Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord of all. If I pray for you, if you let me pray for you in his name, he'll heal you that palsy. And he'll do it right now. Now that's the gospel, nothing else is. That's exactly what it's saying. These signs shall follow them that believe in my... Well, first of all, the guy might be a pervert. Did he say that in church? I did. You might have an unclean spirit. If that's the case, you cast the devil out on the porch. Guy's flopping like a chicken in the driveway. Ow! Come out, I said. Ow! Devil's screaming. Good, she said. Cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, I hope you know that's not handling snakes in Kentucky or Tennessee or anywhere. I'm not. Dear Lord, you don't find anything like that in the Bible.
No.
No, it's if you're doing the work of the Lord and the enemy sends a snake, a poisonous snake to bite you, you can shake it off in the fire like Paul did. If they try and poison you with something deadly, it's not going to hurt you. You're a supernatural person following a supernatural God and filled with a supernatural Holy Ghost. He can neutralize poison in a heartbeat. Now here it is. They shall lay hands on the sick, and it's to be a sign to the unbelievers, to the world, to the darkness. You are the one with the lit candle. See, I started with that vision earlier. I see it again now. God looking down. Here's all this darkness. One light. That's Jesus. He grows up sin free. But then the day comes, he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. There, now you got Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So it's like God's looking, and through that darkness there's one light. And everywhere that light goes, he sets the captives free. We've got one now. Now, later on, he puts his mantle on 12. Now, they're not lights. They're not born again. There's still only one light, but he puts his mantle on the 12, and they're able to do what he did. That's not enough. Then he puts it on 70. And they're still, now it's not 70 lights, they're not born again yet, but his mantle is on them, and they're doing the work of the light. God says, we can't just have one light. See, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he made it possible. Not only for him to be, he is the firstborn from the dead. I've taught on that many times. You know what that is. Not raised from the dead, born from the dead. He is the first one. Bing, there's a light. But then when he shared with the 12, or the 11 at that point, now you got him and 11 more. Then there's another light and another light. From God's point of view now, there's millions of lights. From his point of view, every light should be doing exactly what the first light did, because really it's the same light working through you. And it's the same Holy Ghost working through you. But religion has determined we're going to put you under a bushel. I don't care that you are lit. Religion, you're just an old sinner. Saved by grace. We can't put out your light. No man can pluck you out of his hand. But boy, we're going to keep your light from shining. And very often it's because the leaders of that can't, they're not, should I say it? They can't do the work. How dare you? I'm gonna cover you up. that day. It's never this way here. See, that's one thing I also admired about Pastor Dave. He never wanted to really be your light. He never wanted to lord it over anybody. He didn't really even want to be your... He's our teacher, but he didn't really want to be your teacher. He wanted to turn you over to the teacher. He wanted you to follow Jesus and be taught by the Holy Ghost and grow up. Well, it's time. It's time to let our light shine. Now say it with me again. People will live or die based on what I believe. I choose to believe the truth. Jesus is the truth. And what he said about me is the truth. Now hold that. Now let's do an equipment inspection. Hold out your arms. See if there's hands on the end of your arms. See if they're... You got them? Oh my goodness. You're equipped. You got hands? And you're born again? Your candle has been lit? Have you been baptized with power? You shall receive what? Now see that message that the replayed Sunday. The end result of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not tongues. That's the first evidence of being filled. He didn't say, you shall receive tongues. No, you do receive tongues, all right. That's one of them. But that's not the end result. The end result of you being baptized in the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Power for what? Power to be my witness. To let your light shine. So that, and I mean do it publicly, where men can see it and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now that's who he's raising up. The fivefold, my job, our job collectively is to mature the body. Pray in tongues, fast, do everything that's taught here, find your place. Yeah. If I'm a liver, I want to be a good one. If I'm a lung, I want to be a good lung. I want to find my place. But even no matter what my place is in the body, when the opportunity comes, honey, I'm a light. I'm going to let my light shine. And I don't mean just in church. Shine in the darkness where men can see it. The days of being intimidated, afraid. Okay, I'm going to touch on that one. Again, it's the same thing. The reason that you're afraid to do it, you're afraid nothing will happen when you pray. That's called unbelieving believers. I'll finish here. Sue, go start the car, baby. Got to get out of here quick tonight. No candy after church tonight. We're going. I'm teasing. She knows it too. See, look at it. John 14 again. What are you going to do with this? John 14:12. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Do I have any of those in the house? Okay. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And if that's not enough, if we just had that verse right there. But look, the next two verses. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. How affirmative can you get it? That will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, didn't he just say a while ago, Matthew 5, let your light so shine that your works can be seen of men? And what will happen? That they may glorify your Father. Now, he's just saying it in a different way right here. Whatever you ask in my name, there's your works. I will do. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And this is rare. Repeat himself in the next verse. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, well, I prayed once and it didn't happen. Welcome to mortification and edification. Working on the part of you that doesn't believe until you do. But you're never going to change the word. Yes, sir. My goodness, I wasn't going to do that tonight. He wants to do it tonight. Go to John 7:17. And before I even read that verse, I'll pinch this together. Go to James. We're going to go to James first. Yes, sir. Man, I thought this was another night. See, we've all heard so many verses out of James chapter 1 about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I mean, any believer that's been around charismatic circles any time at all, you can almost quote that verse. But I didn't know until recently where James got that text from. I'm finding out, you read Jude, this is the power of assimilation. You assimilate the books, and dear Lord, eventually. I'm finding out, all these guys that wrote these epistles, they got their information from Jesus. Who would have ever thought? Let me show you what I mean. Now, we're all so familiar with this. James 1:22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only. But now, what if you are? Let's face it, most of the church is. That's why they're unbelieving believers. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only. I come to church. What do you do as a Christian? I come to church. I hear good messages. What do you do after that? I come to church again. I hear good messages. Well, then what do you do after that? I come to church. But you don't ever do the word? She's going, yes, I do. But if you're a hearer only, see, you're deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, well, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself. In other words, when you heard the word, you're like looking in a mirror. The word is like a mirror. This is who God says you are. Then you leave the service and you don't ever do the word. No, I'm just me. You go back to who you thought you was before. See, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Well, and what caused that? He never did it. Now, you've heard that and heard that and heard that. See, now I understand why you could be ever learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. Because you keep hearing it, but you never do it. Now, we've heard that from James for years, but now go over to John 7:17. He got that from Jesus. Look at this. And the verse I'm after, 17, but let's pick it up in 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? But Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. Now get this. If any man will do, did you see do? If any man will do his will, he shall know. Did you see that? If any man will do, then he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Until you become a doer, you're never really going to know. You're a forgetful hearer and not a doer, and you're deceiving your own self. At some point, after hearing 9,427 messages by Pastor Dave that you should pray in tongues, at some point, you need to pray in tongues. Then you will know. I found out in the trucks. I finally started doing it. I didn't wait that long, but I started doing it. And at first it was just like he said, boring. I didn't understand. Every devil in hell was on my shoulder. I think going, this is stupid. You went off the deep end. This is crazy. Nothing's happening. You need to stop this. You need to stop this. I can almost, they were desperate. You need to stop this. But eventually I had my first little teaching vision. I still remember it to this day. I'm not going to tell it again right now. I said, whoa. That's what he said would happen. That was the Holy Ghost. I didn't have any computer or anything in those days. I had a spiral notebook. I really used it to keep track of my things on the trip, stops and things. Man, I took a blank page in there. I started writing out that vision. That's the beginning of the ministry. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. But see, I could have kept hearing and hearing and hearing and never started praying, and I wouldn't know to this day if that's just really right or not. But if any man will do, he will know. Well, you've been praying in tongues. You've been fasting. Agree with you. You've been fasting. I'm speaking a positive confession. You've been fasting. I have, Gary. Meditating the word, hopefully assimilating, worshiping. So you already know. But see, now, what about this one? Believers will lay hands on the sick. See, if I'd have stopped after the first hour, I could have told you tongues doesn't work. I didn't get no vision, no revelation that first hour. If I remember right, it was the ninth hour. Y'all remember that? I have to go back and listen to my own messages. It's been so long now. But if I remember right, it was the ninth hour. If I'd have stopped after hour one, hour two, I could... ain't nothing to that. There's a little prophecy out in the foyer called endurance is the key. Endurance. You got to do it and you got to endure doing it. Same thing with praying for the sick. Okay, you may pray... All right, so you pray for one and they didn't get well. Well, that changes. That's it. That changes a word. That's not true. I could have said that about tongues. Could have said it about anything else. You got to do it and keep on doing it. And if you do it, you're never going to prove yourself more righteous than God. You know what Jesus really meant when he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You know what that really means? Heaven and earth will pass away before I will not heal the sick when you lay hands on them. Now that's the attitude you got to have. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for that person not to get well when you pray for them. Now that's where we're going. And that's enough for tonight, don't you think? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? You're being edified. You're being matured. You're growing up. He's taking away all of our excuses. I'm tired of them anyway. I don't want excuses. I want power. And I don't want it power for glory's sake. I want power for the Mary Corbetts and all of the other ones that have died on our watch. Bless God, that's going to stop. We're going to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And we're going to get a lot of other people free. Say it with me. I let my light shine. So that when I do the works... men see it, and they glorify my Father in Jesus' name. My candle has been lit. Religion's not going to cover up the light anymore. I let my light shine, and I do works before men that they may glorify my Father. Hallelujah.